Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
My name is Jim Lehman. Some of you I've not met. Apostle had asked me to minister the word this morning. Just to give you a background, Debbie and I pastored for 35 years. In 2011, we retired from pastoral ministry and moved here. We felt definitely called to be ministers in the business community, in the business mountain. So we have a business here in South Haven, and we live in Nesbitt. And I do that business during the week to support my ministry habit on weekends. And literally, because I get to go places that we can minister to and not receive an offering, and there's no obligation there. Well, we'd love for you to come, but we can't give anything. Oh, just let me come. I'm just full of teaching that I'd like to share with you that will help your people. We pastored in different communities, but I'll just share a story of what God did in our ministry. Before I do that, I want you to take your Bibles or take your smartphones or your iPads or your mini iPad or whatever you got, your notebooks. Let's say notebooks. Do you know when God wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger on the tablet? He was just prophesying this day when we take our fingers and write on our tablets. Bad joke, I know, but thank you for laughing. Thank you for laughing. Okay. I want you to go to Matthew 9, verse 35. And then we're going to stay in 8 and 9 there. The word of the Lord says, Jesus was going through all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now let me paraphrase this. Jesus was going into the cities, the metroplexes, the villages, the halls, the countryside, teaching in the churches and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and sickness. Several years ago, my wife and I were preaching and teaching and pastoring a church in Tipton County, which is north of Millington. God told me to begin to teach and preach on healing. And he told me if I will honor healing, I will teach healing, I will preach healing, that we would receive healing and that people would receive healing. And we went through a season of this because here's the fact. If you focus on something, whether it's negative or positive, it will happen. You can be self-fulfilling prophecy. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. If you think you will, you will. If you think you won't, you won't. Now, you can say, well, that's New Age. You can say, well, that's this or that. I want you to know it is a biblical principle in the kingdom of God. And so we began to teach healing, preach healing, and talk healing. As simple as it was, we would take sticky notes and put scriptures of healing upon our refrigerator, our mirrors, our dashboard, our rearview mirrors. Everywhere we would go, we would stop at a red light, we would stop, and we would say those scriptures out loud. And then Mr. Capps came out with the little book that we had been there for years, but we got in touch with it. Someone gave it to us with all the scriptures of healing. And then now you have Cindy Trim that does this, and you have all these people that understand these things. Well, in that process, Debbie says, I don't remember, but she remembers details. Over 300 divine healings took place in our church. And the first one that took place was our firstborn son. Because right after we started this journey with our church, when he was 23, I think, 21, In 2003, he was diagnosed with lymphoma melanoma. And he was a youth pastor in Wisconsin. Debbie was counseling in her office, and I was in my office. And Matt called me and said, "Dad, they've diagnosed the tumor in my groin as lymphoma. And it's rooted from melanoma skin cancer that was never biopsied when he was at Christ for the Nation." Long story short, I said, "Okay, we're going to pray." I didn't have any fear. I didn't have any, like, "Oh, my God, what are we going to do now?" I went to my wife, knocked on the door. I interrupted the time session. She was meeting with another woman in the church and ministering, and I said, "I need to talk to you." We came to the hallway, and I looked at her, and I said, "Debbie, Matt's going to tell you that he's just received word the biopsy was cancerous, but I want you to know, don't be alarmed, because God says everything's going to be okay." So we went and talked to him, and long story short, God miraculously healed our son in a series of different things. It was a journey, but Debbie got a word that the cancer that was in his body were squatters and did not belong there, because she, as a mother, had received a purpose and destiny of his life way before he was ever diagnosed with cancer. And she told me, she said, "We're going to pray every day that cancer has to submit to God's purpose and destiny in his life." And so we did that. And he was not told never have children after that, the firstborn. They have two more boys, on and on and on. But he is cancer-free now since 2003. Hallelujah. Okay? Well, see what happens when you get a word and you get a promise. The enemy is going to attack you personally first. I'm going to walk in financial blessing. I'm going to walk in job, favor, employment. And the first thing that happens is you get attacked on the workplace. And you get demoted. Or you get fired. Not, shouldn't been, but it was. How many know what I'm talking about? That's because the enemy is testing you to see if you're going to walk out what your talk is. Are you going to walk where God has given you a promise? Are you going to walk through this process to prove that God is strong, he is on the throne, and that he will do what he says he will do? He will swear, take an oath to himself. Okay, my God. Say it to your neighbor, my God. Okay. Well, it's interesting here that in chapter 8 and 9 of Matthew's gospel, Matthew is quoting Mark, and he starts with two chapters talking about Yeshua's healing ministry. Yeshua had a worldwide healing ministry, and Matthew was the one that shared it. And he came down out of the mount, it says in verse 1, where's the mount? The mount was the Sea of Galilee, because he had just finished 5, 6, and 7 teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and all those things. Well, it is Mount Tabor, which is at the top or above the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee is in a bowl, and the winds are strong in that area, and so it is a natural amplification, so you can be 70 to 100 yards away and talk in a regular voice, and everybody can hear you because it's an amphitheater. And he was at the top speaking down to the people, the crowd, the multitude had gathered, and he came down out of that mountain, and then he finds himself walking in this healing ministry. The first one is, there was a leper. Verse 4, Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present an offering that Moses commanded as testimony to them." The reason he did that was he was operating in kingdom authority, but he wasn't ready to release the new covenant yet, so he was having them go back to the priest in the proper way of cleansing. And then he comes to Capernaum, and there's a centurion. You know that story. He says, I have a servant that's dying. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And the servant said, no, I'm a man of authority. You don't have to come and heal him. All you have to do is speak the word of healing. All you have to do is speak the word of healing. Last night, Debbie and I were in a restaurant in Arlington off the hook. There's one off the hoof too. They're off the hook. And it's pouring down rain, and we were on our motorcycle, and we were trying to delay coming home. And I was not even praying. I was eating shrimp and beer-battered fish. A glory, yes, amen. And I got, the Lord said, I want you to teach on healing and activate the authority of healing. And we were with another couple riding, and I said it to them, their long life friends in ministry. And they looked at me and they said, yep, that's what it is. And all we have to do is speak. Over Matt, we began to speak that every day. We have wonderful people in our ministry that were in the medical field, doctors, nurse practitioners, and different ones. And they would bring us all these articles on what kind of therapy and what kind of medicine and what kind of things that Matt needed. And they wanted us to read up on the latest stuff and what kind of cells this cancer was and all the intricacies of the medical knowledge of fighting the disease. You know what Debbie did with all that stuff and I? We said, thank you so much for your concern. Thank you. And we took them, and I took them to my garbage can in my office, and I threw them in the garbage can. Well, why did you do that? That's so dishonoring. No, I honored them. You see, they were raised in a scientific mindset. I was operating in a spiritual mindset. I never told them that. I hope they're not listening. But what it was, Jeanette, is we did not want any negative, critical, contrary to the word of God and the promise that God had given his mother that he, that would be negative. We didn't want to mix that. Now you would say, oh, come on, Jim, really? Well, I just tell you what God was saying to us. You got to live it out. God forbid that you ever have to live that out. But one out of every two people in America today are diagnosed with cancer sometime in their lifetime. It is a scourge. It is a plague against our nation. He says, I'll just say the word. The centurion said, just say the word. Then he comes from that and he goes in verse 14 in Peter's home. He saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were all. I love my wife, and when she does deliverance ministry, she will not allow any junk to go on. She just says, no, you're not. The demon is not going to manifest around me. We're not going to spit. We're not going to vomit. We're not going to have gnashing of teeth. We're not going to roll on the ground. And she takes authority over it. She's a person of order. She has a gifted administration. And she just won't allow it. And I've seen it. Others, that's not their style. But her style is when the demon comes against her, she knows the word of God. She has authority of word of God. And it doesn't happen. I'll tell you a story. When I was pastoring in a church in Memphis that did not believe in deliverance, one afternoon, the youth pastor comes in and says, Jim, I don't know what to do. I have a call from someone that says they are a daughter of a high priest and a witch in Memphis with a satanic church, and she wants help. So we had been studying Derek Prince and Paul and John Sanford, Paula and John Sanford, and different ones, and Dr. Charles Kraft from California had trained us in deliverance and different things, and And he didn't know what to do, so I got on the phone. I said, how did you happen to call this church? She said, I don't know. I just looked in the yellow pages and your church came up. She said, I'm going to be sacrificed. It was at Halloween. I'm going to be sacrificed and I don't want to die. And if they know I'm talking to you now, they'll come and get me. And she was scared to death. We went down to TGI Fridays across from the Peabody and picked her up. We brought her to the church and we had two intercessors that knew how to do deliverance in a church that didn't know anything about it. And the pastors didn't know anything about it. And I brought them in the sanctuary. We sat her down. And I am telling you, 13 demons came out of her. She told us things in the spiritual realm about intercession and warfare that was amazing. That gave away secrets of the satanic church in Memphis. I mean, but during the process, her face turned into a goat's head. And I didn't yell. I didn't scream. She during that time, that goat's head spit in my face. And I thought to myself, Aaron, I sure wish Debbie was here. Because she has the authority not to allow that. If I'm lying, I'm frying. Because it happened. Okay. We got her to a ministry in Texas. We put her on a Greyhound. We got her out of the city. That the whole ministry is a process of reclaiming people out of satanic ritual and abuse and bringing them into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of light. And so I understand this authority that Jesus is walking in. It says in verse 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried our diseases so that we can walk in freedom. Do you all believe that? Thank you. She said it with conviction. Hallelujah. Okay, then they tested him. And then he goes in the boat, and we know the story of that. The winds come up and on the other side, there's the demoniac of the Gadarenes, and you know that story. But then you go to verse chapter 9. Verse 2, and they brought him a paralytic lying on the beds. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to paralytic, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. Now that's important, seeing their faith. Do you have the faith to walk in healing? You know how you get faith for healing? You pray for healing. I've prayed for healing a lot of times and not people been healed. There's been times when I've prayed for myself to be healed. I still have to take the medicine and move on. But I believe as I go, I'm walking in healing. I don't like taking the high blood pressure pills that the doctors have given me. You know what I do? Debbie says I shouldn't do this, but I have faith for healing, so I'll go for a while and not take it. And believe for it and speak it, but I'm not there yet because there are some healings that Jesus said, as you go, be healed. Okay? Well, do you have the faith? Jesus saw their faith. It says in another scripture, the reason Jesus healed them and delivered them of all their sickness and diseases because he had compassion on them. Do you have compassion on people? Do you have the love of Christ? I don't like seeing people suffer. It makes me mad when I see sickness and disease. It makes me mad. My father is going to be 87 a week from tomorrow, and he's dealing with an ear infection that's not viral. It's fungal because he was in World War II in the Philippines. The doctor said those kind of veterans struggle with jock itch and athlete's feet, and that fungus is now in his ear, pressing up against his eardrum, and he's in awful pain. I don't like that. The neat thing is, in our Shabbat service Friday night, as we had the tallit as a canopy, people were walking under it, and one of the ladies said when she walked under it, she saw Yeshua taking his fingers in my dad's ear. This and he was healed. I talked to my dad last night and he said he's doing much better. Praise God. Come on, let's give God praise. That brings another point about authority of healing. If you can't praise someone else in their healing, you're never going to receive your healing. Well, how come they get healed and I don't? How about praising God? How about praying for someone's healing? Yeah, it's scary. Can I pray for you? You know, you don't know them. You're at work. You're at Walmart. You're at the restaurant. Can I pray for you? In fact, does someone have a right Achilles injury or ankle injury here this morning? All right, right there. I got to pray for you right now because my right ankle and Achilles is killing me. And I don't have that problem. So a lot of times when they operate in healing ministry, I will get an association. That's how I know to pray for someone. Just stand up, okay? Father, I thank you right now that this ankle is being healed. The pain, the arthritis, the tendonitis, the brucitis, all those situs brothers are gone in the name of Jesus. She is having a new ankle, a new bone. Bone spurs must leave. Achilles tendon is healed right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The other reason I know that I walk in a healing anointing, sorry, I need to pray for your ankle now, is my hands start to tingle and burn, and they're doing that right now. And so I know that God is doing something great. Yeah, it's I'm a mess. That's okay. You know, that's all right. Now, let me give you just three or four things, and then we're going to activate this. You said activation last night at the restaurant. The Lord said activate the people to have the to walk in Jesus' authority. So I know it's of God. Isn't he awesome? Number one, write this down. Number one, verse 1 through 17 of chapter 8, Jesus has authority over sickness. Do you believe that? What those scriptures were. Matthew was saying, Jesus has authority over sickness. You all know I could teach for hours on Jewish roots and Judaic studies. But the Lord does not, he said, don't speak about that. I want you to do this morning. Jesus has authority to heal me and to heal my family. We got our 19-month-old grandson about 10 days ago, and when we got him from his mother, he was sick. He was running a fever. He was running a nose. We had two nights of without sleep. Every hour, every 2 hours, he was awake, crying, just suffering. And Debbie and I both said, in the name of Jesus, we need our rest. Be healed. We're too old to be grandparents and waking up every night. You grandparents understand my pain, right? And you parents too. So we, you know what we did? We walked in wisdom. We prayed for healing. We interceded in healing. But you know what else we did? We put Vicks VapoRub on his feet and made him sleep in socks. And within 24 hours, he slept all night and it dried up. Now, was it the Vicks VapoRub or was it Jesus? Yes. You know, God gives you wisdom and common sense. I was in a business this week. I mean, let me tell you, use every opportunity to pray for people. Ford F-150, my red truck, God gave me. The air conditioning's out. My business, I'm in a suit and tie and coat, and it's hot. Take it to this place where I trust them. Good people. They give it to me 2 days back. Have it for 2 or 3 days. It doesn't work. Take it back again. 3 times. They had to replace everything you replace. The condenser, the compressor, the evaporator, the hoses, everything. In the meantime, the lady is calling me the owner. I'm sorry. This is how God works. It's okay. There's a purpose. It's fine. It's all right. I know that's not your fault. I don't know why, but there's a purpose. She said, I wish everybody in my business was like you. I said, well, I understand. God has a purpose in everything. I said, look, what can I pray for you about? She said, you should be cussing me out. You want to pray for me? She said, I was diagnosed with COPD. Is that what it is, the lung disease? My truck wasn't even ready. You know what I did the next morning, first thing in the morning, before I got to the office? I went by the mechanic shop. I said, Doris, I haven't come by to check on my truck. She said, you haven't? What do you come by for? I said, I came by to pray for you. She said, do what? I said, I believe in healing. And there were people bringing their keys in. And I went around the counter at her desk. People listening. And I said, let me take your hands. And we held hands and I prayed just like I normally pray for people's healing. Tears were rolling down her cheeks. You know what? Maybe that's the reason it took 2 weeks to get the truck fixed. Because God was trying to get a hold of me to ask the question, how can I pray for you? Because Jim's a little bit slow to operate in the spirit. Y'all aren't like me, I know that. Number two. Verses 23-28, Jesus has the authority not only over sickness, but over nature, demons, and paralysis. Wow. Paralysis. It may be spiritual paralysis. It may be physical paralysis. It may be emotional paralysis. God wants us to move forward. Last night, driving my motorcycle in that thunderstorm from Arlington all the way to Nesbitt, torrential rain pour. You don't think I was speaking to the nature? Debbie and I were praying. We were binding every wind, every thunder, every lightning, asking God for grace and mercy for us stupid idiots driving our motorcycle in this awful rainstorm. You got to laugh, guys. Come on. Are we so spiritual and religious we can't just laugh at some of the stuff we get into? Oh, it was fun. We were laughing the whole way. We were praying. We were singing. We were soaked, but we got home safe. Jesus has authority over nature, demons, and paralysis. Do you know that God and Satan are not equal? World says, Hollywood says, that there's black and white and they have equal power. No, Satan is a created angel. His name was Lucifer. And he wanted to be like God. And God said, okay, poof, you're in the earthly realm. And a third decided to follow him. But there's two-thirds of angels. That means God and the angels have majority. The only power Satan has in my life is what I allow him to have. He is not omnipresent. He cannot be Lucifer himself. Satan cannot be at the same place at the same time. That's why he has a third of his angels to do his bidding. They're imps. They're demons. There's a fivefold ministry in the kingdom of God. There's a fivefold ministry in the kingdom of darkness. Everything that God's lined up and plan, Satan himself has a counterfeit. He can't read my mind. But he does listen to what I say and how I react to things. When you're upset, write this down. It is Satan set up. Because he's going to see how you're going to react. And then he's going to fuel that with demonic activity, with temptation, with lies, battlefield of the mind. So Jesus has authority not over sickness, not over nature, demons, and paralysis, but thirdly, Jesus This is chapter 9, verse 18 through 34. Jesus has authority over disabilities and death. Thank you, God. I'm not as good as someone else. That's okay. Jesus has authority over that. I don't have the gifts and the graces that Matt and Natalie have. That's okay, because God's blessed them with it. I don't have to be jealous of it, because God has given me gifts and graces. I can't do what they do, but they can't do what I do. You know what my job is? I'm a high-priced babysitter. I have 20 agents that I oversee. And if I don't answer a text immediately, some of them have 5 or 6 question marks on the next test. Do you ever think that I'm with someone else and I can't answer you? You know what? What's your disability? Gideon thought he was disabled because he wasn't born into the kind of family that God was speaking over him. Oh, mighty man of valor, and Gideon asks, are you talking to me? Moses, I can't talk so good. Peter, full of anger. Moses, you know what his disability was? Not only he couldn't talk so good, but Moses had an awful anger, and it got him in trouble to where he didn't even make it to the promised land. In your anger, sin not. It's not sin to be angry. Sin not. Disabilities, physical, emotional, spiritual. There are no disabilities in Christ. I can do all the things the scriptures that were literally spoken today into the heavenlies are God coming upon you. He has authority over your disabilities and death. I'm not afraid of death. I really am not. I have a different thing with death. I mean, I've stood by the casket of so many people that we've had to pull the loved ones off the casket, just weeping and crying. And I know it's an awful thing. It's an awful thing. But when you're in Christ and they're in Christ, it's a glorious thing. Do you know how long we spend on earth compared to eternity? And so when people die that I love and care for, you know what? Yeah, we'll mourn. Yeah, we'll be sorrowful, but get on with life. I know that's tough, guys. How can you say that? Because that's God. You know, Israel mourned for 30 days after Aaron passed on, because Aaron was everybody's friend. But after 30 days, you got to move forward. I know that's tough. First of all, I tell the people, you know, don't mourn that way, because your loved one's not here anymore. That's just an earthly shell. They're in heaven with Christ. They would never want to come. If you could see them now, the song says. I know that's tough. Let me speak to your spirit, man, because your flesh is turning me off, and your soul. It's okay. It's okay. So let's... Three things: over sickness, authority over nature, demons and paralysis, and the third one, over disabilities and death. But I love the fourth one. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 36 and 7. See if it'll bring it up here. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Now, I've always taught that about presenting the gospel, giving the 5 spiritual laws or whatever your plan of salvation is. But Jesus is speaking to healing the sick, He's speaking to an authority over sickness and disease. He says to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of harvest to send out workers into his harvest." What is number four then? Jesus says, "I have authority to send out workers to demonstrate my authority." Get that again. I have the authority to send out workers to demonstrate my authority. So pray the Lord of harvest would send forth laborers to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. Wow. You have that authority, Chris. You have that authority, Will. You have that authority. I've never done it before. That's because you were never released to do it. That's what preachers do. That's what Benny Hinn does. That's what the TV revivalists do. No, that's what the body of Christ does. That's what the ecclesia does. Start with yourself. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I have no disabilities. Healing of the mind, yes. Healing of my spirit. Healing of my soul. My soul's my personality. The wounds, the rejections, the disappointments, the discouragement. Hey, Debbie and I have been voted out of churches at least twice in our 35 years of ministry. I'm like the Apostle Paul, vote us out. That's okay. God opens other doors. The Apostle Paul said, "Throw me in jail." We have church in jail. People get saved. Miracles happen. Chains fall off. So I'm not afraid of jail anymore. Okay. You see the power of the authority that I am trying to share with you today. I want to release it into you, activating the authority to pray for the sick and operate in healing, signs, and wonders that you have. You don't have to do it like me. You don't have to be like my wife. Be who you is. Because if you ain't who you is, you whatever that is. Be who you is. Because if you is who you ain't who you is. So I want you to stand up right now. And I want you to go to someone that you don't know well. You might know a face, but not a close friend. And I want you to begin, we're going to activate this. Come on, come on. All right, do we have to be like children in school? I know this is scary. No, it's not. Before we start, listen to this. Listen to this. If you're too afraid to operate in this authority, you're too afraid to be used of God. Let me say that again. If you're too afraid to operate in this authority, you are too afraid to be used of God. Okay? Everybody got someone? Just make sure we do. All right? What I want you to do, if you pray in the Spirit, just start praying in the Spirit. If not, just listen to the still small voice. Open yourself, God, how can I pray for this person? Okay? Father, we just ask right now. Your word says that Jesus gave authority to pray for the sick to be healed. Nature, paralysis, disabilities. You said, pray the Lord of harvest, send forth laborers. And Lord, we ask that you would activate our faith right now. Childlike faith. Faith for this to be done. In Jesus' name. Now what I want you to do, one at a time, tell the person you're with an area of healing that you need for yourself. Okay? And then they're going to pray in faith for that to be done. And then do the opposite. The other, then once that's done, then you ask them to pray for your healing. Okay? and we're going to watch God perform supernatural. The Lord told me yesterday the divine was going to show up to this morning. It's not about how good you are, how much you prayed, what you did this week or didn't do, how many hours you read the Word. It is nothing about that. It is about your willingness to be used of God. Amen? So go ahead, on the count of three, start. One, two, three.